Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Totally. morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, Ted Lyme. The person, the last four on your phone, the last four digits of your phone number is 1862. 1862. Can you text me at 843-217-7376 and tell me who you are? The last four on your phone is 1862. Can you text me at 843-217-7376 and tell me who you are? Ted Lyme, good morning. Wow. Guess what? I think we're on day 13. Praise God. But 1862, I want you to text me 843-217-7376. Tell me who you are. I have an idea who you are, but I need to know who you are because you text me, I text you back. So, Ted Lyme, I want you to anoint yourself in the name of Jesus. Oh, you probably think if you don't do it, if you get off, you will lose your place. I'm telling you. Ted Lyme, told you I had this blog talk a long time, and I just stopped using it. And really, the reason I stopped using it is because the witches was following the Ted Lyme, trying to learn too much. So, the Lord just told me, shut it down. I did. And I mean, I shut it down for a couple years, but I kept it going. I even kept, this is not a free line. I don't have a free line. I have a line that I pay for every month. So every month I paid for this line. Man, I know I could do something else with that money, but God told me just keep paying. And I'll fix it. So I just kept paying for it, watching it come out of my PayPal account every month. Okay, all right. I know who you are. I want you to text me back if you are prepared to give your testimony over this Ted Lyme this morning. Just text me back. I see you got your phone on hold. I would like for you to give your testimony because I'm going somewhere in that area, but I would like to have a fresh testimony. You do not have to say your name, and you do not have to say where you live unless you want to. Thought it was you, but I wasn't certain. Text me back. In the name of Jesus. So, let me tell you what happened yesterday. The Lord said, now look at your all-time statistics. Now, this is nothing. Believe me. This is a small drop in the bucket to like Shannon and I know he must have millions of on his statistics. But for me, this is a real big thing. Yesterday, I went over 182,000 listeners and downloads. Do you hear me? I'm going to take a picture of it and put it on the website. Yeah, I know who you are. What I want to know is, can you give your testimony this morning? Praise God. So I went over almost 100,100. And to me, that's a big thing. I've never really would have thought that 100,000 people want to hear what I had to say, tell you the truth. So I'm happy about that. I'm really happy about that. And I know that's a small drop in the bucket statistics-wise for people that are really, really on here doing something. But that's a big thing for me. Okay, great. I'm going to open up this line, and I want you to hear this testimony. Go. One 862, your mic is open. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great in Jesus' name. Praise God. I had to get your permission. I want you to give it the same way you gave it when I first heard it. And I only heard a little bit of it, but I know we dealt with it. But I know you have the story, and this is your testimony. Nobody can give it like you. Nobody knows what you suffered but you. So anywhere, we pray now, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you put it on my heart for this person to give their testimony. And Lord God, when this testimony is finished, I'm going to lead into some more deliverance in your area, okay?
Yes.
Start anywhere you want to, anywhere the Lord leads you.
Okay, long time ago, let me start with, came out of a Catholic background.
Don't mention any name, just do not mention anybody's name, okay? Period.
Okay. Okay.
I just say person, that person, or, you know, my auntie,
right.
Uncle, you know. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I just came out of a Catholic background. I've been a Catholic for over 40 years. As I was being delivered, also walking out of cultism, I noticed that my grandmother was a witch, practicing witch. She used to fly mom, my mother, and aunts and her sisters and different stuff like that. I was involved in witchcraft and practiced it, and it was handed down to me. I was going through a lot of different stuff and didn't know why, and I was born a witch also. Didn't know I was dedicated as a baby. As time went on and everything, I had great powers myself. And I used to dabble in witchcraft myself also. As coming up and starting, I was a little girl, I noticed it also that I had different things going on too, but I didn't know what it was. And one of my experiences was that I had to, I was just left alone. I was left alone a lot. My grandmother raised me. Especially when I was in, you know, kindergarten, my mom, she worked very hard to get us through. My dad was an alcoholic. Also that many times when I was left alone, I noticed different things, but I didn't know what it was. One night when I was asleep as a little girl, I was about 6 years old, I jumped up, ran out of the house, and I headed to the woods. And at that time, I didn't know I was just speaking to demons at age 6. They used to tell me what to do, and so forth, and a man in a hat. And I'm in the woods talking and everything. And I said, well, where's my mom? And they said, you go back, you go back. So I went back and did some stuff and laid down again and ran to my grandma's house. She was next door. I mean, it's walking distance, I'm about a minute away. And that's where my mom, they say, well, she's not here, you go back. And so I laid down again and everything, and I used to feel like that I was just doing different things. And I had a lot of animals around me, dogs and cats and so forth. And one cat we used to call, she was a gray Persian cat, and she always used to protect me. My mom used to, like, come in the bedroom and cover me up and so forth like that. But that started when I was age six, and as I progressed on to elementary school and different stuff like that, and like I said, I was really powerful. Anything that I wanted, I needed, I had, no matter what it was. But as I was going through the ages and so forth like that and everything, I thought it was normal, you know, talking and so forth. And I used to have night terrors, and I used to, me and my brother used to share a bed, and I used to fall off the bed, boom, and hit the floor, and they used to look, and I used to get back up. But as time went on and so forth and everything, and I noticed that even in my relationship to dealing with men, you know, I got my way, no matter what it was, how I could do different stuff, I got my way. And as during the teenager's years, I got my way. And if I wanted, I got it, no matter what it was. And being promiscuous and stuff and fornication or whatever. But really, really when I noticed when I was in my 30s, it started getting really heavy. And I was there. And I knew it. And you know, my mom said, well, do this and do this and do that. And I didn't know it was dealing with witchcraft and so forth and being a Catholic and you know, and worshiping Santa Maria and this. And praying bees and this, they're doing the whole different gamut. Very, very powerful. Very powerful. And so as I start breaking different stuff off and going to ministry and stuff like that and breaking stuff off and everything, stuff started happening. And one of my experiences was I was in my bed and I was looking through the mirror and I was asleep. I was dreaming and I was looking through the mirror and I came up and I seen all these L's and all over the window and all over the mirror. And I looked in the mirror, as I was looking in the mirror and seeing all the L's and dolls and all that different stuff. And I got pushed back on my bed. And I said, what in the world is going on? So I pushed back and I looked at it again. I said, what is that? And I put my hand to the mirror like I was, you know, I could see in the mirror. And when I reached out and everything, and my hand went back real fast. And I said, well, what is that? And it says, ask the children. Because I'm a teacher, it says, ask the children, ask the children. I said, ask the children. And all, each L, it was like hundreds and hundreds of L's and drawers all over the window. And it says, just ask the children, you ask the children. I said, what? And then when I was getting ready to get one of the dolls, because it had the children's names on it, but I couldn't see it originally, and I was getting ready to pull it, they pushed me back, and I flew on the wall. And I was up on the bed, over my bed on the wall, and my position, the same position Jesus was on the cross, and I was on the wall. And I was saying, I was on the wall and everything, floating on the wall with my hands in the position of Jesus on the cross. My arms was on the left and on the right, and my legs was like tied, my nail. And I was saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I called on the name of Jesus, and I kept calling, and I broke it, and boom, I went down in my bed, and I was just like sleep again. That's one of the experiences, just walking out, just keeping on walking it out and trying to get out the cultism. And another experience, I was in my bed and everything, and one of the demons, and I kept my light on. I'm like, what is this? What is going on? I couldn't explain it. And the more I broke through and tried to break through and stuff, some deliverance. And so then I was sleeping one night, and I was in the bed, and I kept my light on. And as I went to sleep, and I woke up, I just happened to wake up, and I saw this demon just followed me. He was around the bed, and he just kept walking and walking. I said, oh, my goodness, what's this? What is this? And then I went and it walked all the way up until it got to the left side of my bedpost. And I just had to look and look. And as I looked and picked up my blanket, I said, oh, my goodness. And then his, see, like, it just met me, like, it was a glow. And I saw it, and I looked around and lifted my head up, And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, no, you don't. And he bit me right on my arm. And then an imprint of this Egyptian demon was imprinted on my arm. You can see the eyes. You can see the headgear. You can see around the neck. Everything was so visible, so visible. So I ran, and I said, oh, my goodness, I have to tell him. And I called one of my friends up, and I said, you got to look at this, look at this. And I went to her house and so forth like that. It took me about 45 minutes. I went to her house, and I said, oh, my gosh, look at this. Look on my arm. And she looked. She said, oh my gosh. And I said, she said, no, we got to take a picture. We got to take a picture. So I left, and I pulled my sleeve up and everything, and she took a picture of this. It looked like an Egyptian demon. And I pulled my sleeve up, and it was there for a long time. And we got pictures, and I always gave my testimony. And I got the picture. And I got the picture of the demon on camera, embedded in my skin. And so she just looked and everything, and I gave my testimony all over about this Egyptian demon. And I was carrying this Egyptian demon on my arm. So eventually I start getting a bigger from a lot of stuff, especially a Catholic background, because, you know, from witches and stuff in my family. And so, you know, start fading away. And then after that experience, getting bitten one night, I was laying in my bed, and I fell off of my bed again. I was just being attacked over and over and over. Trying to walk out. So I fell out my bed. There's like three of them pulled me down, and I was under my carpet, my blue carpet. And you can hear, like, the gates of hell was open. Went boom, one gate open, another gate open. There was all this chain. And I was slipping and slipping and slipping. I was pulling my stuff, and it's like I was tearing my carpet up. My nails were like embedded in my carpet, trying to get out the dungeon. And I knew it was hell. I knew it was hell. They was calling me. They were summoning me. And so as I got back up, and I kept on saying, in the name of Jesus. And I kept on saying it, and I said it three times. And then when I said it the third time, they slipped, and all of the demons went back down, and I got right back up. And I got on my carpet, and then I crawled on my bed. My bed is a real high bed. You need like a stairs to get on it. A little step, two steps to get on it. So I crawled up on my bed again. And I said, oh, my gosh, what is going on? And I said, oh, my goodness, and I start praying, you know, and asking God for forgiveness, I start praying. And so every night, every different night or every different week, something was going on. And so I started talking to people and steady giving my testimony. And a lot of people used to ask, you know, different questions and so forth like that, and crying and so forth like that. And I thought I was going through it by myself, but I wasn't. And so I would realize, and I said, oh, my goodness. So I start getting into the Word and so forth like that. And I was being tormented over and over. And so one night I went to sleep again. And when I went to sleep, and it took me back to 1924 at my grandmother's house, because she was, like I said, this is the one that flew. She was a witch. And she used to break you down. She can. She used to heal us or you know, when we were sick. And then she used to take those roots, and then she did, if you did fly by her, that's commended, that she controlled, that's a part of witchcraft, to control you and different stuff like that. If you didn't do what she said, different stuff like that, she would make you sick, and then she would bring you back out. She would bring you back out your sickness. And so one night, it took me back to 1924 and in my grandma's house. Old house, and had different rooms in it. And so I was floating to the rooms. I was going to room to room to room. And her room was by the door, the old porch, and you go up the steps. So I was going to, in her room, I said, oh, my goodness, that's what we used to. She just had this big statue of Mary. And I found out it was, I stopped her, because it was Santa Maria. Had a snake at the bottom. And so she would say, kneel. And we used to worship this big, big statue. You know, I was small, so the statue seemed like it was 8 or 9 feet tall, because I was small. Mm-hmm. And so we used to worship and this statue. And all of us used to go up there. All of, you know, because like I said, it was a family. It was in a community, and everybody, grandmother was here, great grandmother was here. You had your aunts here, your uncles here. It was, you know, big, huge community in the country. And so the book took me back to, like I said, 1924. It took me back to there. And so I went to my grandmom's room, and I see my grandma on the bed. And I said, who are you? And when it turned around, my grandma was on the bed, and there was this demon. And it was no skin. It was skinless, a skinless demon. It was just skinless. You could see the blood. You could see the vessels. You could see the veins in the demon. And I said, who are you? And it then looked at me. It says, I'm waiting for you. And I said, what? And I said, what? I'm waiting for you. And I said, okay. And then I, like, and, you know, I was trying to get out of there as fast as I could. I was trying to get out. So I was maneuvering to every room. You know, it's just like I was there at age six. It seemed like I was there at age six. And I was just maneuvering as a little girl. I was maneuvering for each room. And it seemed like that everything was so clear. Her bed sheets would go to the next room. My uncle used to be there. And his room was set up the same thing as, you know, in 1900. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then I was just going and I got out that room. And then I wrote stuff down. And I got a journal. I used to journal. I journaled everything, going through everything, all of my dreams. I just kept journaling. And so I was like, the next one, and I said, what is this? And I came back to him like, what is this? And I gave my testimony again. And then one person pulled me to the side and he said, you don't understand. And he gave me from person to person to person to person to person to person to person. He's like, we can't help you. And I said, what is this? And my lady just said, she said, you don't know what they're saying. I said, no, I don't. What's going on? And they said, you are their covering. They're waiting for you. That demon has to be covered. And that is the complete other side of satisfaction. That is the completeness. They're waiting for you. You are the skin. You are the covering. And I said, okay. I said, this is getting real out of hand. This is just real. Going to different elements and stuff like that. So over the time, after that one, then another experience happened. I was asleep again. And then I heard something go, I said, what? And I was like, and then I couldn't even speak. They already had me positioned, laying down, already strapped, hand over my mouth, and I couldn't talk. And so when they put the hand over my mouth, I went, I couldn't speak. So they had the hand over my mouth. Everything came out of my mouth was mumbling. It was mumbling. I couldn't speak. It was just like mumbling. And even hurt. And it was found out it was a spaceship. And I was dealing with aliens next. They was trying to take me away. Because the more I tell my testimony, the more I gave it, the more I was worshiping God, and the more I was walking out. They kept on. They wouldn't let me go. And they kept on hovering over my bed. It was huge. It was a big spaceship. It was huge. It was just gigantic. And it was hovering like you was like I can describe it. The only thing I can describe, the sound was like, have you ever been in a cat machine or getting an X-ray? And that sound is like, ooh, 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 and it's going around your head. It's going around your body. It's just circling. It's just taking every X-ray of your body, every picture of your brain, every cell, every blood vessel. It just goes around. And it was just hovering and hovering and hovering. And it just had my mouth. I couldn't say every mumble sound that I said. It would threw back on me. Everything I said, it threw back on me. You know, just like your voice comes back and it bounces back to you. It just bounces back to me. And I just kept on, and it was huge. It was big. And you can see it was over my bed. It took up my whole room, it was just over my bed, and it came down. And I'm looking up and at this thing, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I just called on him. Just just called on him. In the name of Jesus. And I just kept on, in the name of Jesus. And I called on him. And it just like, and that thing went, and it went right through the ceiling, right up. And it departed me again. It had departed me once again. In the name of Jesus. And it departed me again. I know they were trying to take me out. And then as time went on, I was sitting in the car at work. And they started manifesting at my job, one of my jobs. And I went at work and I was sitting, I was in the Bible praying, asking for help, bringing me peace, you know, just over being in the Word of God. Walking out as best I knew I could with the things that I had to do by myself again. And then I was in the car reading my Bible and everything, and this sign was in front of me and said, no trespassing. So I happened to read, and then I happened to look up. I looked at my time and see if I had to go back to work and look at my time. And it was like in the morning, because it was early in the morning. And it was, you know, dark. I could still see the sign. It was early in the morning, and I was parked by the gate. And I looked up, and it said, and the sign said, no trespassing. But when I looked up again, it was the most fierce demon. It was it seemed like to me it was the last set of demons. Because the smaller they start small, the Satan has a legion of demons. I mean, all different sizes. I mean, the most powerful ones. And so when I looked up, it was this demon on the sign, no trespassing sign, changed to this big, big, serious demon, the warrior demon. It had these big hooves, like these marshmallow hooves. It had these like, you know, warrior on his face, white things on his face. He looked at me. I looked at him. I said, oh, no, not again. And I just looked. And I said, in the name. And I looked down and kept on reading. So I kept on reading. And I looked up again. And the sign has changed back to no trespassing. And then I said, okay. And I talked to, you know, one of my friends for years again, and her husband for years again. And I prayed and I'm walking through. And so I said, okay. And then I went inside, and my boss said, you know that you have to go get your, you know, fingerprints done and different stuff like that. I said, you know, okay, and everything, because, you know, teacher, you have all your fingerprints and everything's done to be able to teach in the state of Maryland and stuff like that. Well, anywhere you go. So I said, okay. So I made an appointment to get my fingerprints done. And so I went in there and made my appointment and went there and got my card. And the police said, okay, you're next. This is another episode. This is another experience of sharing. So they said, you're next. I said, okay. You know, and I went in there and everything. I said, how are you doing? And, you know, talk to her or whatever. And she said, and we sat down and was talking, and I was getting my fingerprints done. So she says, you know, she put my fingers on the card, and, you know, each finger she rolled, and each finger she rolled again, and each finger she rolled again. And so the last finger, you know, everything went through, and I happened to look down, and the last finger, and she, you know, she was rolling the thing up, and when it goes doo-doo, that means it didn't register, you know, because all those fingerprints has to be on there. You know, the machine will clear. It go ding, you know, that's clear. Green, ding, it's green, ding, whatever. And it kept on going on red. Last finger. That was my, called a baby finger, on my left hand. And so she looked at me, and she kept on, I said, what's going on? I said, no, this ain't happening, because I know I need to call the teacher on my teacher career. It got to go through. It got to go through. And then once I looked down and everything, it was a demon inside of the fingerprinting machine stopping my fingerprint. And I'm looking, I said inside, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. And so, and, you know, she said, this is strange. You know, she said, this, the police turned to me and looked at me. She said, you better start praying. That's what she told me. She said, you better start praying. And I said, oh, ma'am, I had this. And so she said, okay. She gave me some water. She said, let's settle down for a minute. And she said, we're going to start praying. I said, okay. And so she said, wait a minute. She said, you had any water? I said, no, ma'am. So she said, okay. She said, you sit here. She said, you sit here. I said, okay. And so she gave me a cup of water. I sat there and, drank it. And she said, just settle down. I said, okay. And she gave me another cup, settled down again. She said, okay. She said, we ready. I said, yes, ma'am, we ready. So she said, okay, let's do this again. I said, okay. She said, we getting this. And she said, she told me she was a Christian lady. Didn't know it. And so she put my pinky finger, left hand, back on there again. And she rolled it left, rolled it to the right, was on green. She said, okay, I said, amen, let's go. I said, I'm done. And then I got up and she looked at me. And, she asked me a couple of questions. I don't know what questions she asked. She asked me a couple of questions. And I told her, I thanked her. I thanked her and everything. And, I walked out and left and so forth. And she looked at me walk out. She looked at me walked out. So I left and I started praying and thanking him and praising him. Walking out of the police office to the police department and so forth, and was out in my car and everything, and I always prayed stuff, and I always prayed the Bible CD for years, still walking out for four years of this, and so forth, body and stuff like that. And, things just still happening. And one time I had a poltergeist in my room, and I was sleeping. My wardrobe had all my clothes and stuff in it, was zipped up. And I'm sleeping again. It's another attack. I'm sleeping again. And the thing just went right out. It was just shaking. Stuff was just shaking, and things were just rocking and shaking and hitting up in the ceiling and back down on the floor and up and down. And then I was getting little stuff, bits of here and there for different ministers, here and there, what to do. And I said I had to take different stuff out, and I took different stuff. People gave me different crosses and different stuff and stuff, my ex-husband, different stuff like that, the divorce and stuff, and stuff that, he got from overseas, and I just started putting it in the bag, breaking it up, and prayer beads and this stuff from the Catholics, and just breaking this stuff on up, and it's just the stuff, bags of stuff, just breaking up. That's the stuff that I could do that I was getting from different people, just breaking it up, and had bags of stuff full, and I had to clean my room, and clean my son's room, and different stuff I couldn't touch. And staying with my relative, I couldn't touch her stuff because she was deep in witchcraft, and I just couldn't touch it. And I did the best I can and cleanse my room and cleanse my son's room and anointing it and different stuff like that and doing the best I can, walking out. And then when I, friend been over years and years, this couple been over years and years, going through with me and stuff. And then one of my friends met, Dr. Erica, and she called me and she said, you got to get on the line. I procrastinated for eight months, And then that, I wrote it down. I journaled on April the 9th. I got on the line, the TED line, April the 9th. And I got on TED line, and I've been on the TED line ever since April the 9th of 2016. And never got off of it. And I kept on, and Dr. Erica was feeding me with stuff that I never heard. There was just most of powerful stuff I never heard. And I just carried it with me and it was just awesome. She said, you got to get on. I said, I am on. Did she text me? Are you on? I said, yes, I'm on. And I called her. I said, oh, my gosh. this is just awesome. This is just awesome, the stuff, you know, that I was receiving. And the first time I was on, I had back problems and pains in my back. And she did that healing and back pains. And back pains went. So I stayed on. I said, oh, my gosh, I'm staying on. I'm not giving this up. I'm staying on. And I just kept walking my way, walking and walking and walking, month after month, month after month. And then when Dr. Erica came for that week in July to my friend's house and did deliverance, and this broke off because I was suffering from foot pain, years foot pain, and my legs used to swell up, and and I just lived, it was years after years. I was in pain and pain and pain and pain and stuff, and going to work and couldn't bend. I had to take my hand and, like I said, I'm a teacher. I used to take my hand and grab the shelf and the floor. I used to be in the floor with my students, and I used to grab the shelves and prop myself up to get up or getting out of the bed. It seemed like I was 97. It seemed like I was in the body of an old woman of 97 years old. It seemed like I was deteriorating. Getting out of bed, putting my feet on the floor, and even putting my clothes on was a challenge. It seemed like I was going back into deformity. I was being deformed. And that day, when she came in July, and she did that deliverance, and she touched me. She told me to, she came to me and put it on my, hey, she said, you suffered for a long time. Yes, yes, I had that. And she touched my feet. And that's what the pain was. She touched my feet. And she touched my legs and so forth. And she prayed again. She told me to stand up. And instantly, to stand up. And I was there and she had stuff to do with the for my family. And time went on. And I got up and put that gear and being delivered. And I was able to kneel up in the middle of that floor. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Remember, go up and down. And being at that table looking at her, and she said that 10 years was all of my life. She said, you turned 2 days lighter. And she told me to go in the mirror and look. And it seems like 10 years was all of my life. You're not going to see it. But I gave me back 10 years. The suffering that I was doing. Went through. And it says that my skin was a fighter. And that day, and I know I received the Holy Spirit and my anointing that day. And I stayed there for a while, facing the Spirit. feeling wonderful. It was just, I was just so light. My body was light. Every part of my body was so light. My face was so vivid, so glowing. The people that left here, and I said, oh my gosh. It's like my whole face was reformed. And I didn't have this long face. It was smooth over. It was rounded. My nose wasn't, like, well, let's describe it. It wasn't pointed. It wasn't like an arrow. It was so rounded. My nose. My arms, top of my arms, where my shoulders was at, it was lightened. And when I came home, I looked at my legs, and my legs was so light, because I could tell my legs was turned lighter, because the spot that I had on, have on my legs, still on my body, spots on my body, and on my legs, they were dark, they were real black, and my legs had turned shades lighter. You indicated from the spots I had on my legs, and the spots on my legs that were black. They were black like coal. Those spots had lightened to shades. Thank you. That praise him. I give him all the glory. Guru, deliver me from Satan trying to take me away. Not afraid. I've been on the deadline, and in the morning I get up at 4 to because I have to be to work at 6:30. So I get up and go to work and get there in the parking lot sometime at 5:30 to get on the deadline, and I can't stay that long, so I had to be in at 6:30, so I stay like 20 minutes or so, and sometime I just walk in hearing her message on my phone, because most of the time you can't bring your phone to work. I work on an installation, and you can't take the phones in, and sometimes I go in the closet on my job and listen on the tail line as much as I can before I go to my shift, and then I turn my phone off real quick, and sometimes I have 1 minute, sometimes I spare a couple of seconds, and I have to run down the hall to get where I need to go and grab all my supplies to start my shift. But I been on the tail line ever since April. And everything, if I miss something, I go back and rewind to Dr. Ergefell. You know, it's already, she already posted everything for the 40-day deliverance. So I go up there and get it and redo it when I go home. And sometimes I got delivered in my car and so forth. And you know, she always said, keep your paper and all that stuff. So I keep everything in my car and so forth. And I always call my friend and say, oh, my gosh, you never know. I'm throwing up in my car. She said, what? I said, oh my gosh. And I said, I got to go to work. I got 10 minutes left. I'm pulling up in my car. And I texted her. And so I'm running, and, you know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm getting my stuff. And I said, God, just please, Lord, just give me an extra 3 minutes to get to work, get up there so I can clock in. And every time I'm clocking in, like 5 minutes of, and, you know, they give us 7 minutes, the extra 7 minutes to clock in, because I have to clock in of that 7 minutes. And I'm looking at the clock. I said, there's no way that I got that many minutes left for the clock so I can clock in. So I said, thank you, Jesus. And so I'm just clocking every day. I'm like, what? I got 7 minutes left? I said, no way. I'm just clocking in. And every day is a blessing. So I just want to give my Father God praise and glory that I've been delivered from all of this torment. Still walking out some stuff. But I praise and give him all the glory. So Dr. Erica, to come and do what she did for deliverance that day. And I thank you. And people are praying for me when they left, her staff and so forth. I said, they're going to pray and how they pray. But thank Dr. Erica, thank you for hanging in with me. It's been a journey. And my son was there, and he had the liver and stuff, and he loved it. And my son has autism. I'm taking care of him since he was two. And he has sincerely said he did. But he got delivered. He said he's born with non-progressive spondylitis on the brain. And ADHD. Selective creativity. He had a gastric problem. He was there. And he got some gastric problems. And she does his stomach, and he got another bit too. Because he was born premature. He was born at 26 weeks. His head was the size of an apple. And he was on life support. And they said three times he came back and said, he's not going to make it. And three times they told him he's not going to make it. And he said they put all the tubes and stuff in him. They had a shunt in his head and his brain to drain the water. And he was there with me in the deliverance. And she touched him. He was on the floor in the same place where he had his intestines. There was a little hole in his stomach. His intestines fell through his stomach. And they did emergency surgery. His intestines fell through his stomach when he was a baby, and all his intestines came out of his stomach. So they had to take all his intestines, and there was a little hole. It was bigger than a dime. And that hole, they took all his intestines and put it back up in his stomach when he was almost 6 weeks old, and put it back up in his stomach, and they got his intestines back up there. In his stomach as best as they could. But they said that he always had a glitch in his stomach and his intestines. It would always be a little glitch, like if you put your finger up and you bend it. And it would always be a glitch. And he put his intestines back up in his stomach as best as they could. So as he grew, as your body grows, and it grows out, but he always had problems with his intestines and passing stool. But he was there as he came down, and he got delivered of that migrant stomach. It smoothed out, and use the bathroom every set.
Wow.
He's so well.
May I say something here? I didn't know any of this. This is the first time I am ever hearing your testimony. All I know is that God told me to have you give your testimony this morning. I am truly amazed, and I am truly thankful to God. I'm truly thankful for Lahem Ministry. That's the house to house. And if I had any idea if I needed any extra push, I just got it. Not that I need it, because my will is to do the will of the Father anyway and to obey God. No matter what, obey God. But I had no idea. Had you ever told me your whole testimony?
No. Mm-mm.
The only thing I ever heard was what was said in the Robinson's living room.
Mm-mm.
And it wasn't that much.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
But I was just obeying God and doing what he said do, and he did what he was going to do, and he's able to do more than we all can think or dream. And I'm so happy for you. You have just blessed me this morning with your testimony, and you know what? If you go to the TED line, I just put up a slideshow, mini slideshow, and guess who's on there? Your son. I'm working on some other. Stephanie took those pictures, and I'm working on some pictures that Brother Joe took. Some little mini movies that Brother Joe took. But your son and the 20-year-old and the 18-year-old are on my website right now. And I had no idea. I just took what I had, put it in a little slideshow, and put it up on the TED line under Maryland. It's on there. And
wow.
I am so thrilled. And I have some of your ministry on camera that Brother Joe took, and I just started, I have so much to do, but I did start processing it day before yesterday, but I got one up already, but I have two others that I'm going to put up from the Maryland, but I'm going to put your testimony on there, under there. Because I think it's awesome what God did. I am proud of God. I'm proud to serve him. And you know what? Listen to me. I'm not going to get a diamond for your deliverance. The Robinsons are. But I'm going to get an emerald and I'm going to get a ruby. And that's all right with me. That's all right with me. You are a testimony to the faithfulness of God. But you also a testimony to one other thing that I keep telling people. Ain't nothing gonna just drop down from heaven. Because God has done what he's gonna do, and he sent Jesus, and Jesus has done what he's going to do, and he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us. But the Bible says we got to work out our own, what? Soul salvation. with fear and trembling before God. The only reason you received in that meeting is because you accepted it, that God was going to do it for you, and you were persistent about it, and you believed that you were going to get it when you came down to Maryland, and you got it. It was your faith in God. It was your belief in God. It was coming together with all the anointings of everybody in the room and the corporate anointing and the fact that the Spirit of God rested in the Robinson's house. Believers were believing. And God, John 14:21, I will reveal myself to you. To you. You never gave up. And it ain't over. And the thing is, you a little bitty lady. You don't wait. You a little. You little. I can see them demons flinging you around, but it ain't got nothing to do with your size. Cause I saw him fling a 600-pound man around one time. But and see, I don't know if people got everything you said. But there's a ton of biblical truth in everything you said. It's pounds of it, mountains of it. Mountains of it. If you had to tell anybody about witchcraft, what would you tell them? What would you tell them?
People don't understand. I was talking to one of the ladies at work, witchcraft. Which, especially with the area I'm at, witchcraft is so prevalent. It can be anybody on your job, because if we do have a wicked witch on our job, it can be, which people don't understand. They think that the hokey pokey and all that stuff. No, it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. It goes so much deeper, and it goes back in generations. And it's just witchcraft is so powerful and so demonic. And it's not the, you know, everybody, you know, the Harry Potter, all that stuff. They glamorize it on television, and it's in your kids' movies. It's on television, and you're watching, and you up there in partaking with that stuff, and your kids are doing it, and they're watching, you know, the Glinda the Good Witch and the Wizard of Oz and all that stuff. And Disney is loaded. The Disney tapes are loaded with it. The stuff that you're watching, the stuff that you listen to, the music, all that stuff is mesmerizing, and people don't understand it. And when people speak over your children, and you have to be aware of what's going on. You have to be aware of what's going on and who you're talking to and who you're inclining your children to, as well as yourself. And you have to, you know, have to have the spirit of discernment, and you have to read the word. You have to protect yourself. Only way is with only with God, through Jesus. You have to walk it out. Your minds go back to 1924. You got to walk it out. You don't know who has it.
That's right.
But it's so you don't know. So you have to learn. You have, you know what I'm saying? I would tell anybody, stay on the tell line. Get these words. Get these messages. Go back, review it. You know, it's you know, people understand. And I was sharing with this lady at work and so forth, and we talk, and I share, and you know, pass the books and different stuff like that. And it's all over. You don't know who you are coming up against. You know, the food that you are partaking with. You know, you can say the same thing. You can be partaking with food from demons, and people don't know. You have to pray over your food. You have to pray over your children. You have to pray. You have to anoint yourself coming and anoint yourself going. You have to stay prepped. You have to stay in the Word. You
the
have to be
on
the body
church.
Of believers. Yes,
the witches
they do.
Go to church.
Yes, they do. I've been sitting inside for almost 40 years. I was sitting in a group of them.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, ma'am.
Not only do they go to church, but they wind up being in prominent places in the church.
Yes, yes, yes.
I had some people here this past weekend, and they had to leave the church they were in because the pastor had put Freemasons over the money, over every prominent position in the church, in a Christian church. It was under the leadership of a Freemason. So the pastor, God prophetically spoke to this man and said, do you want to be like the pastor? In the meantime, the pastor was in the hospital having open-heart surgery, almost dying. And then the pastor, number two man, was in the hospital almost dying. Why?
Yeah.
Because Freemasonry was in control of the church. I'm talking, I'm not talking a long time ago. I'm talking this weekend. This weekend. So, and that is nothing but Luciferian. Okay? Brothers and sisters, you have heard this testimony. This was not planned. It was just God said, oh boy, have this person give their testimony. That's how it went. And I don't want you to take lightly this headline, because on a normal day, I was telling staff here, it takes me about 5 to 6 hours to prepare one teaching for this headline. 5 to 6 hours straight to prepare one teaching. So I don't want you, I guess I really wanted you to hear this because of several reasons. One, those of you that have been on this TED line for any length of time and been supporting this TED line, the Robinsons get a diamond, I get an emerald or a ruby, and so do you. Because without you, I can't keep the TED line going. Believe me, you may think something is free, but ain't nothing free. It's not free. It is not free. I don't know how much money the Robinsons spent to host this ministry, but it was a lot. Believe me, it was a lot, because they treated us like God's children.
Yes, they did. Yes,
they treated us like God's children. And I could never repay them for that. Tedline, and some of you, you just won't. I'm not even going to go there. I want some of you to donate to the Tedline this morning. That's all I'm going to say. If the Lord puts it on your heart to donate, donate so I can continue this work. If he don't put it on your heart to donate, don't. The work's still going to continue, but you're not going to be a partaker of the blessing in it, because you haven't sown no seed in it. And there are testimonies. I'm very cautious about allowing people to testify on here. And the reason I do that is because I don't ever want to get lifted up in nothing. I don't want to coerce nobody to do nothing. I don't want to get lifted up, and especially pride. Because I know, just like you are, brothers and sisters, I'm a servant of the Lord. But I can't continue if you won't support me. It's as simple as that. I'm going through these 40 days. Because God orchestrated them and ordained them. And for all of you people who listen to me and think, oh, I got it now. Look, the only reason God gives me anything is to give it away. I know that. And when I give it away, he gives me more. I know that too. So, the well ain't going to never run dry, never. And I thank you, sister. I thank you, because I needed to hear that. Every now and then I need to hear what God is doing in my own ministry. In my own ministry. Because I'm walking by faith and not by sight. brothers and sisters, it ain't no devil, no demon, no Lucifer, no Satan, no Beelzebub, no witch, no wizard, no sorcerer, no black magic or no white magic that has more power than God. There's no witch, no wizard, no black magic, no white magic, no religious devil, and no evil human spirit that has more power in you, because you are the strongest man and the strongest spirit on this earth, and they are abiding in you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's just been a testimony morning. It's a testimony morning. And you know what? Sister, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to thank God for your son. I never would have known. I never would have known had not God said to ask you to give your testimony this morning. Brothers and sisters, this deadline is ordered by God, led by God, and it's going to continue by God. But if you can help me, go to, I'm going to put a PayPal up on the 40 Days of Deliverance website in about, when I post this message, I'm going to put it up there. You could have got delivered by listening to her testimony this morning. If you didn't get delivered, God brought things to your attention that need to be delivered, you need to be delivered from. I want you to go before God. I want you to examine that testimony. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death.
Amen.
Examine this testimony. Examine your life against this testimony. You need to learn what witchcraft really is. It is any type of abnormal control of one person over another, and especially for their own selfish reasons. My plan was to do deliverance, but deliverance has come forth if you listen to this testimony. With that, I'm going to say 1862. I'm going to close your mic for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Brothers and sisters, it's open, so I'm going to just leave it open. Because I don't want to be clicking no button or something, go crazy. Brothers and sisters, you know, if you might not be the one this time, but there is somebody on here. And God has already moved in your heart to help me. You need to obey God. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm going to say this. If you are on this line, on this deadline, and I have your name under the ministry training, I want to start that today, but I could do it tomorrow at 7 a.m. I want to train you how to flow in a word of knowledge with regard to healing. And the reason I think God wanted her testimony, two things. One, I need to destroy the power of witchcraft. But I'm not led to do that this morning. But I want what got her and her son here was a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. And then the healing proceeded. So what God has told me to do the 40 days and then begin to build the prophetic deliverers and to teach you how to flow in the giftings of God to bring people reconciled with Jesus and connected to him, reconnected to Jesus and connected to him, and how to use your prophetic giftings in the ministry of deliverance. So I'm going to start with, and I've been wanting to start this with this word of knowledge as it relates to healing and deliverance. And Sabrina, if you own here, I wonder if you have that prophetic word that you sent to me about healing and deliverance. If you could read it, if you don't have it, it's okay. But if you do, I would like for you to read it before we go off. Your line is open, Sabrina. Do you have that?
Yes, I do.
Can you read that, please?
Sure.
I know I caught you by surprise. You know me.
Yeah. We have to always be ready. Like the Lord, be ye ready for any such an hour.
Be ye ready.
The shepherd's going to call on you. I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay, great. The TED line needs to hear that. I was trying to figure how I could forward it to everybody, but I forgot to send it to Reggie. But I don't need to send it. I don't need that. If you right here, you could read it. And this came from Australia. Am I correct?
Right.
A prophet in Australia. To God be the glory, Ted Lyon. See, you are part of something bigger than you thought. You are part of the move of God that's taking place on this earth, in this earth realm. God ain't dead. He's yet alive, and he's moving by his spirit, and we ain't seen nothing yet.
Okay. It was the greatest move of healing and deliverance is now entering the church.
Speak up a little bit, please.
Okay, let me turn up my... Okay, the greatest healing and deliverance is now entering the church. This one, you know, her and her husband have these prophetic dreams. This one is by her husband, Kevin.
Mm.
And he said, recently, I had a dream where I heard the Lord saying over and over, the greatest move of healing and deliverance is now entering the church. As I was waking from the dream, the sense surrounded me of the Lord saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. There was such an honoring, such a celebration of what has gone before, and the miracles and signs and wonders that have been seen, and there was a strong anticipation of what is about to take place, is going to be on a scale like we have never seen before. There was such a strong sense in this dream of a momentum and acceleration about to go to a whole new level, like things were about to ramp up significantly. What struck me in the dream was the words, now entering the church. I felt the Lord's heart for his church, for his people. I felt his compassion at what his people have suffered. I felt his love burning so strongly for them. The atmosphere in this dream was one of intense vindication, restoration, healing, and deliverance coming to his people. The dream was pregnant with these sense of a major work of the Holy Spirit amongst his people to bring radical healing and wholeness. It felt like a corporate breakthrough, a significant increase of momentum breakthrough, healing, deliverance, and freedom. As I sat with the Lord about this dream, I had a vision where I was lifted high above the body of Christ as a whole, and I could see the church. I watched as the Holy Spirit moved in power, yet gentleness, strength, yet the smoothing balm of Gilead, the honey of his healing, bringing restoration and healing to hearts and souls. As he was moving precisely yet quickly amongst his people, I watched fireworks exploding from the lives of God's people all across the body of Christ. Instantly, I felt the Lord saying that there will be testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony and radical increase and momentum in the season of healing and deliverance that is coming to the hearts and souls. These testimonies will be loud and declare his glory and draw many to him. I watched as the Lord moves powerfully, healing hearts and souls in such a quick corporate way. I watched as generals in the faith, leaders who have so beautifully plowed the ground for years and generations before, with wide-eyed awe, saying to one another, I have never seen anything like this. We are about to see the power of God move in the hearts and souls of believers like we have never seen before. Faces will be shining with the glory of God and the freedom and healing he will bring, radical transformation. There is an explosive, sudden, restorative healing move of the Spirit that is happening right now across the body of Christ. He is going after the hearts and souls of his people to bring wholeness in significant ways. I saw encounters with Jesus literally bringing healing in an instant. I saw prayer ministry rooms being filled and exploding with accelerated, sudden healings and breakthroughs. Prayer meetings erupting as the Lord moves in love and power, healing souls and hearts. I watched as the Holy Spirit did deep work in hearts in meetings, conferences, and church services. I watched a holy hijack happen in services, and the Lord pouring his love so powerfully that people were left undone. Hearts instantly healing souls, instantly healed and restored. Deliverance in a day. But it wasn't just one person or one place. It was one person after another, one place after another, healing and breakthrough, popping like popcorn in simultaneous succession. He is raising up his end-time army. The Lord spoke to me and said he is not raising up wounded warriors. He is rising up ringed warriors of wonder. He is doing this deep, quick work as he is getting his people into position suddenly. A divine turnaround is taking place now where wounding of the present and past are being healed in suddenly and great succession to suddenly release his people into greater realms of wonder. He is awakening the warrior within, and these warriors have wings because they know what it is to soar above the storm and see as he sees, to fly high and live in deep wonder and awe of who he is. The greatest move of deliverance and healing is now entering the church to bring a wholeness to hearts and souls, a freedom the church has not known before, but the freedom that has always been theirs. Torments, chains, woundings of the present and past being healed. He is coming after your heart and soul to set you free. Invite him in. Just say yes. He is positioning his army. I felt the urgency in the spirit from the heart of God to have his people whole and in place. He will show you what to do to partner with him. He is doing a deep working within so his people can go out with a greater shout. I've watched the church move into a level of freedom, joy, healing, wholeness, awakening, breakthrough, and maturity that is unlike anything we have never seen. This great and mighty move of God will make the world turn its head at the sudden rising of the manifested sons and daughters of God, moving in greater integrity, wholeness, humility, and maturity. The light of God and his glory exploding from this move of his spirit in the church was seeing nations pay attention and the kings and queens of the earth being drawn to the brightness of their rising. You are rising. The church is rising. He is healing you. He is delivering you. He is maturing you. He is strengthening you because it's your time to arise and shine. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. John 8:36. That's it.
Amen. Look, amen. Brothers and sisters, this is from Australia. And when you sent me that, I went, whoa, God. Whoa.
I thought about you. I said, this is exactly where Dr. Shepherd is. I said, see, the body of Christ, when God is speaking, it's one voice. Everybody's saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, that's where we are. That's exactly what you've been saying, and that's where we are. So you're hearing from God. They're hearing from God.
Yeah. What? Mm-hmm. One spirit fitly joined together. Brothers
Amen.
And sisters, I'm going to see you tomorrow on this tail line. Take heed to what you hear. Take heed to what you hear. Because the spirit and the bride say what? Come. I'll see you tomorrow on the tail line. You're going to get a text from me. If you signed up for the ministerial training, it's now. Okay? You get a text from Reggie today. Blessings. I love you. See you tomorrow on this tail line. Woo! This is what you are.
I need all the miracles in the house to get up. If you're a miracle, stand up on your feet and make some noise in here. Let's go. I'm a living, breathing, walking, talking, moving.
walking through the miracle. I'm a living, breathing, walking, talking through the miracle.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.